Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Love is the fulfilling of the law. And when we use it in that respect, it is. It's a good instrument. It certainly shows us the very mind of God, which is for the benefit of all humanity. But now we go into verse 9. We have the other side of the coin, how the law affects the unrighteous person. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, whoremongers, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to take you back again to Romans chapter 3, where we see both those facets explained from Paul's letter to the Romans with regard to the law for Israel, who were under the law, and how the law applied to the pagan, wicked, immoral Gentiles. Romans chapter 3, and I'll drop in at verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now this shows both sides of what Paul is talking about in Timothy. For the righteous man, it's good if you use it right. For the unrighteous man, it is his condemnation. All right, Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know. See, no ifs, ands, buts. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now stop right there. Who was under the law? Well, Israel. Israel was under the law. And Israel alone. The world around Israel had no concept of what it was to have the Ten Commandments as part of their moral code. But don't stop there. Even though it was given to those who were under the law, the overall impact of the law was that all the world, not just Israel, all the world, all of humanity, that their mouth may be stopped and all become guilty before God. Now you see, the world, the law then had two premises here. Number one, for Israel, it was the very backbone of their national behavior. It was around which everything revolved. It was their national entity. But for the unbelieving world, it was an instrument of condemnation. Every mouth on earth, according to the law, was an enemy, law-breaking, citizen of the earth. And all the world was declared guilty by virtue of the law. Now, even Israel under the law, became almost as lawless as the Gentile world around them. And I'd like to always point that out by going back to Judges. Come back again, hon, to Judges, the last chapter. Is it 31? I'm not sure. I have to look a moment. But the last chapter of Judges, that's just before Samuel. No, it's just before Ruth. Sorry about that. Ruth is in between Judges and Samuel. But yeah, Judges 21. Judges 21. And of course, this was that 400-year period of time that Israel was on a roller coaster spiritually. They would come from the depths of despair, overrun by their enemies and their neighbors. And then God would bring in a judge, and Israel would have a spiritual renewal, and they'd come back up, and they'd be enjoying the blessings of God, and then down they'd go. Back into idolatry and all that it entailed. And then the day would come, they'd come back up. Now, as we end the book of Judges, of course, they are down at one of those low levels again. They are in a place of a spiritual desert. Verse 25 says it all. And you know, whenever I look at our American fabric of morality today, this is the verse I have to think of. As Israel went, so many times we can see our own beloved nation going. Verse 25 of Judges 21. In those days, when Israel was at the bottom of her spiritual life, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What do we call it today? Situation ethics. If you're in a situation, you're comfortable with it, it's okay in your own eyes, do it. But that doesn't line up with the Word of God, see? And so here again, we find that the law, so far as Israel was concerned, and it was used lawfully, it was good. But to the Gentile lost world, it was condemnation. And it showed them their horrible sin. All right, now then, if you'll come with me to verse 10, where Paul again is delineating the behavior of the lost world. These are those who are operating under the energy of the flesh. Whoremongers, those who defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, all of that was laid out in the open by the law. Because when the law said, thou shalt not, this was what God knew was best for the human race. Because, as I said in one of the previous programs, even this afternoon, if society could keep the law, hey, this world would be a good place to live. But man can't do it. Man's greed, man's old Adamic nature flies in the face of the moral code. All right, now let's move on. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to whose trust? Paul, not Jesus, not Peter. Not John, not James, no one but the Apostle Paul was committed this gospel of grace. And you know, the vast majority of Christendom still doesn't know that. They, as I've said over and over, especially the last several months of our teaching, they treat Paul like an unwanted stepchild. Oh, he's there, but they don't want anything to do with him. How many times Iris and I have both experienced it in our travels or even here in Oklahoma, someone will come up and say, I've always detested Paul. He's a woman hater. He's an arrogant. He's an egotist. But you've showed me something totally different. Again, in just the last few weeks, we've had it happen a couple times where someone said, you have totally changed my attitude toward the Apostle Paul. I see now that he is the one that we have to adhere to. He is the one that God designated as our apostle. All right, so look at the verse again. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Who did God give this gospel to? The Apostle Paul. You know, I've so often used the verse, and before we go back and look at Paul's gospel, we're going to look at it again for the umpteenth time. 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16. Now I'm going to drum this home every chance I get. Because how many people, when they ignore Paul, they'll say, well, I go by what Jesus taught. And Peter, of course, is the epitome of what Jesus taught. He was with him those 3 years. And this is why, as I've said on the program before, and I'll say it again, I suppose 90% of our Sunday morning preaching is out of the four Gospels. That's where they think it's at. Well, I've got news for them. That's not where it's at. That's background, just like the Old Testament is background. It's for our learning, but you won't find the gospel of salvation in the four Gospels. It's not in there. And I pointed out to someone just the other day, stop and think. When Christ was walking the dusty roads of Palestine and the 12 were with him everywhere, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't died yet. How could he be proclaiming a gospel that hadn't been even finished? And as he told the 12 in Luke 18, we go up to Jerusalem. Everything spoken of by the prophets will be fulfilled. The Son of Man will be scourged. He will be beaten. He'll be put to death. And on the third day, he will rise again from the dead. So far, so good. But what does the next verse say? And they, the 12, understood none of these things. They didn't know he was going to die. And after he was crucified, they had no idea he was going to be resurrected from the dead. That was all unknown to them. And so it wasn't until God reveals that post-resurrection, that post-ascension Christ, who now reveals to the apostle the gospel of the blessed God, as he calls it here in Timothy. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Now this is Peter himself, the legalist of Galatians chapter 2, who now at the end of his life writes to his Jewish readers, 2 Peter 3, verse 15, an accounter understand that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even, now look at this carefully, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Well, now, what do you suppose is the wisdom that Peter is referring to? The revelation of those mysteries. Paul is always saying, behold, I show you a mystery. I am the minister of the mysteries, which was hid in God, which was kept secret. See? All right, so this is what Peter is telling us, that the wisdom given unto Paul now comes through his epistles. And in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, not just the book of Hebrews, which I think he refers to in verse 15, but in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, that which pertains to salvation and our eternal destiny, and in which are some things hard to be understood. At the end of his life, at the probably 65, 66 A.D., Peter still couldn't comprehend the whole revelation that had been given to Paul. He said it's hard for him to understand. And not for him only, but with those who are unlearned and unstable, twist, as they do also the other scriptures, and to their own destruction. Well, what is this gospel? Come back to 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 15, which we have used so often. I trust that people who have been listening to me over a period of time can almost recite it in your sleep. 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses. The most explicit, clear-cut explanation of the gospel in all of Scripture. This says it all, and yet not quite all, because, of course, Paul doesn't mention the blood here. But that, of course, has to be implied from his other scriptures. But 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, here is the gospel for us Gentiles today. This is the gospel of the blessed God that he referred to in 1 Timothy chapter 11. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel. Now we're down to one. Now I grant you, in the last program I said there were two. The gospel of the Jew, which was the kingdom gospel, and the gospel of grace, which were for the Gentile. But that dropped off the scene, and now we're left with the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's gospel, which he says, I preached unto you, and which also you have received. Because after all, these Corinthians to whom he's writing had come out of paganism. Now verse 2. By which you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. And I always qualify that as know what you believe. But here's the gospel. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all. That's the first thing that Paul brought to these Corinthian people. But I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. From whom? From Peter? No. From John? No. From Christ in his earthly ministry? No. But where? The ascended Christ after his death, burial, and resurrection. That's when he received it. And so he says, that which I also received, how that? Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's our gospel. Now, you hear a lot of invitations, and they will speak of, do you believe that Christ died for you? And that's as far as they go. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead. And as Paul says in this same chapter, a little further on, that if we cannot believe in the resurrection, then we of all people are most miserable. Because that's the heart of our gospel. That's the heart of our hope for eternity. That if Christ had not been raised, then we're just like an animal. We die and it's over. But that's not the way it is. Christ did arise from the dead. He is alive evermore. And as such, of course, he will one day take us unto himself. All right, now then, I'm just going to show in a few verses what Paul is constantly referring to as his gospel again, even as we did in an earlier program. Come back with me now to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. A verse, again, I think maybe I've said it before. Very few, even church members, realize this verse is in the Bible. They don't even know it's here. And I've experienced it over and over where they'll come up and tell me, I didn't ever see this verse before. But look how it is again so exclusivist. Verse 16 of Romans 2. In the day when God, in the person, of course, of Jesus Christ at the great white throne, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, and how are they going to be judged? According to Paul's gospel. That's what it says. Now, I know that there were people that lived before Paul began preaching the gospel of grace. But, as I've said so often, even when we teach tribulation events, it's numbers. Numbers. There have been more people living on the planet in this last 2,000 years since Paul's gospel than ever lived before. And so the vast majority of the human race is going to come before God lost, and they're going to be judged according to Paul's gospel. Not Jesus' gospel, not Peter's gospel, Paul's gospel. That's what it says. According to my gospel. And you know, most people don't even realize what that is. All right, let's look at another one. Romans, still in Romans, chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Verse that I use quite often. And a verse that you will not hear routinely in Sunday morning preaching. You just don't hear it. It's just like it isn't here. But it is here, right in front of you. All right, Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now you see, whenever Paul teaches or preaches his gospel, he always associates it with the power of God. You go up into Romans chapter 6 and some of these other chapters, and he likens it that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that raised us out of our lost position. That's the kind of power we have exercised. That's what we are trusting in. It isn't just a matter of easy believism, but by faith we trust that God accomplished everything on our behalf when Christ died, shed his blood, and rose from the dead. And then it's the power of God that does everything that needs to be done. All right, back to the text. Verse 25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel. Now here's Paul's gospel again. The preaching of Jesus Christ, not according to Peter, not according to John, not according to Christ's earthly ministry, but the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. How long? Since the ages began. And that's why I said several programs back, there was no way that Abraham could be saved by Paul's gospel. It hadn't been revealed yet. They had no concept that God would save a pagan Gentile out of his deepest sin by just simply exercising his faith in what God has done. It was unbelievable. Never been heard of. Oh, God had the Gentiles on his mind in the Old Testament, of course, but it had to be through Israel. But now he's going to the Gentile world without Israel. And that was unheard of. And that's why it was a secret kept in the mind of God. And that's why Paul is constantly referring then to his revelations of these things that had been kept secret since the beginning of the world. And now have been made manifest, as he says in verse 26. All right, now let's go a little further with Paul's gospel. Just turn the page, at least my Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. All got it? For Christ. Now, always remember, when Paul speaks of Christ speaking to him, where is Christ? In glory, ascended. The work of the cross finished. Everything that God demanded of the human race was fulfilled in that work of the cross. All right, so now look what he says. For Christ, the ascended Lord, sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What gospel? Paul's gospel. And what's Paul's gospel? That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. All right? So he sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. In other words, not with smooth oratory. Not with some preacher that can keep an audience in his lap with comedy. But with the cross of Christ, lest it should be made of no effect. And then verse 18 says it so plainly. For the preaching of the cross, that death, burial, and resurrection, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, here comes now what I just said a moment ago, it is the what? The power of God. See, that's why good works can never save anybody. Our good works does not involve the power of God. Joining a church does not involve the power of God. Being baptized does not invoke the power of God. This is something that God releases the moment He sees our faith. And that's a heart thing that only God can see. I always have to just shake my head. How can people keep on doing that which only God can do? Man can't look on another man's heart. Only God can do that. No deacon can look at somebody and say, oh yeah, you're a believer. It's impossible. No preacher can look at a man and say, yeah, you're a believer. It's impossible. Oh, we can go by their words. But only God can look into the heart. And when God looks into the heart and He sees that faith, then He does all the rest. He invokes the power of eternal life. He invokes His justification. He invokes His forgiveness. He invokes the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell it. Hey, that isn't anything that man can do. That is all involved in that word power that is released the moment we believe.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.